Yes, because he's listening to me. Amen. One, we really haven't sat down as a family to talk about it. It's my dream. It has not become a shared dream. Do you understand what I'm saying? So no one is participating in it. No one is talking about it. It's just in my mind. Okay. Now, a vision includes a pathway to get there. I can be dreaming that I want to go to the city center. I haven't seen Westgate. I haven't seen the new Westgate. I was talking about it. So I want to go there. But I have not decided when I need to go there, how I want to get there. Yes, I haven't thought about it. I just want to get there. So a vision will not just involve your aspiration, but you need to know how to navigate, when to navigate. That's very important. And then, like I said, a goal is that little steps that will take you there. By the time I now say, oh, I need to get there by 3 o'clock, it's 1:30. It's going to take me 20 minutes to drive to the city center, including the time I need to park, where I need to park. All those little steps become things that I need to put time and value to. And that's how I begin. And then when I eventually pick my car and I start to drive out, I'm already pursuing my goal. The same thing with money. Being rich cannot just be a dream. You may not even think about being rich, but being comfortable cannot just be something you think about. It's got to be a vision that you cast. And then you begin to find out how you want to get there. And there will be hurdles on the way. One thing I say to people is that if you see, and with due respect, if you see an African who has left their country to come here, I'm not talking about those that were born here and just inherited the staying here. But if you see an African who packed 2 suitcases and say, I'm going abroad, that was a dream. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, I need to get better in life. I need to pursue something. So the person has taken this first step, has come here, has met all the beating and all the challenges, fighting it and saying, no, I'm not going to let go of my dream. I'm going to pursue it. Finding out what next do I need to do? Those little goals, okay? So when we talk about money, you cannot just... Well, even if an inheritance falls into your lap, unless you have a way of managing the inheritance, it can go. It just disappears. People have won lottery, big sums of money, and they've lost it because of not having a vision. So it's important not just to dream. It's important that we have a vision. But things like this event, is to help us with the goals, those little steps that we need to take. And there are many aspects of finance we can look at, and we just thank God for how he has helped us thus far. Okay. I'll share my personal experience. Actually, we started with what we call a millionaire's club in this church, where people will come together and contribute. Who was a member of the millionaire's club? Who participated? Tell us about your experience of the millionaire's club. What happened? What did you do?
Monthly, I set aside some money to put into the pots, I would say, which usually was in the bank, was not invested on something else, because that's something I'm just thinking about. Now, maybe if we invested it, maybe we would have all had returns on the investment. And then at the end of few months or years, I can't remember precisely, I was given the amount that I contributed. Was nothing added to
it. Did you participate? What, is that the same?
Similar experience.
Similar experience, okay. But the desire really then was that, I don't know if you know what we call esusu in Africa, is that 5 people come together and say, we contribute £300, let's say, and in the first month, she collects the 1,500, and she uses this for something tangible. The next month, we pull the 300 together, we give to you, you go and use it. Then following month, we pull 300, we'll give it to you, and so on, it will go around. So that instead of you managing the little 300 that you have a pot of 1.5 that you can advance to do something. That was the vision then. And then within 5 months, each of you has been able to do more than what your £300 would have done. That was the dream. Are you with me? But we thank God. From there, we had the stewardship team. They came and they taught us about personal budgeting. And from there, it has grown into annual finance seminar. And I really thank God for the team. My personal experience, in the year 2009, I took a step out of work by the grace of God to do more of ministry. At that time, I was a financial controller at the NHS. I was on level 8, I don't know what they call it now. But to go from that level of income to having no income, everything that I thought I had organized was in chaos. Do you understand me? I couldn't pay rent, I couldn't meet up my credit cards, I couldn't. So it was zero level. Within about a year, I was barely surviving. But I was happy. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then when my credit rating was dismantled, I was told from, I think, preparing for that year's finance seminar, it would take 6 years to repair that credit report. 6 years of not going astray again, which means all the things, bad records, credit card, did it, mispayment, and that. It would take 6 years for them to be. So I decided that for the next 6 years, I'm going to deal with it and cut out every other thing that I didn't need to. And I believe because by the grace of God, I made that decision, God restored work, a job that I didn't even know was there. And I walked with God. I didn't do it by myself. I had to close my eyes to a lot of things. By the end of November 2015, my credit score was 549, just above average. 549. I think the highest is 960 or something. But I knew that in the year 2016, all the bad records were going to be wiped off my record. So I was really geared. I didn't do Ashuebi, I didn't do Gilebi, I didn't do Batebi, I didn't do anything Ebi. I just focused on making sure that I got this right. Anything that was going to take me, but I didn't stop paying my tithe by the grace of God. So by the end of the 6 year, those records were gone. And by the time I checked my record history, I was on 959 or something. It was just green. I like to see the pedal, how it moved. Boom. I said, yes, here we are. And then I began to follow my dreams again. Are you with me? And so I began to find out what are the things I must do immediately that probably had slipped because of the poor 6 years. Because the Bible talks of years of famine and years of plenty. And we all live through that cycle. But the important thing is if you have a dream and you have a vision, that is, you need to have how to navigate to get there, you don't allow the obstacles you meet on the way to make you not to follow your dream. So I began to take little steps. Little steps including talking. I began to talk to those that could help me concerning the dreams I had. What do I need to do? And actually became friends with them so that if they have tips that I haven't considered, I'm a phone call away. They can, have you thought of this? And I believe, God, that things are falling into places by the grace of God. So my personal experience is, because of these seminars and reasoning with others and listening to others, I've been able to put things in place, and I believe, God, I am in a better place. Amen. So what I want to emphasize today when we talk about general financial management, the first one is that we need to know the impact of the decisions we make today and the impact on tomorrow. If you haven't got a dream today, you're not likely to be working for tomorrow. And there's what we call incremental gain in the decisions that you make. So what I'm saying now is that someone was talking about they put money to the group pot, but they got exactly what they paid in at the end of the period. There hasn't been incremental gain. As it were, actually, based on inflation, they probably have lost some money. So you need to make decisions that will bring you incremental gain. You don't want to hold the little money you have in a place where it is not yielding. Your money should be working for you, as they say in the financial parlance. So you need to have experts or people who understand money and can make your money to work for you. Okay? So the bottom line is you need to make decisions that have long-range perspective, long-term perspective, including not just what you are putting into savings, but also what you are insuring. There is the element of insurance. Like if you buy a car, there's something that you say to you that if you put, you have got this debt of 13,000, but if you are paying an extra sum of about £11 or £10 per month, by the end, or if anything happens, these are the if anything happens investment. If anything happens and you lose your job and you can't pay that monthly sum that is due, insurance will pick up the cost and they'll help you to pay so that you don't have the debt hanging on your neck. Culturally, it's not something that we would like to do. Say, oh, don't worry, when we get to the bridge, we'll cross it. And then when it eventually happens, you realize, oh, I really can't meet this cost. Are you with me? And then one could suffer. So look at such incremental. Even though I'm paying £10 today, and it appears as if it's extra, is it really worth doing that now to save myself the headache in the future? That's what I call incremental. You may not need it. It may happen that throughout the time you are working, you are able to pay your money, but at least if anything happens, you haven't suffered any loss. So the other thing, in addition to incremental planning, is tax-efficient elements. There are some things, and I'm not a financial expert, is that there are some money, especially if you're in business, you are doing business, there are some expenses that should be chargeable to your business that shouldn't be personal to you. And those of us that do personal businesses in our community, we don't know how to separate such. So if I'm going to take cake, you've ordered cake from me, and I'm using my car to deliver the cake to you. If I've charged you £25 for the cake, I need to think about the fuel cost. You understand me? And even the driving, the time I'm going to deliver that, so that I charge that to the business. It shouldn't be part of my own personal expenses. And so you need to make tax-efficient decisions. And we need support. We don't know these details, but we need support, okay? And so when we talk about financial planning, we need to have broader perspective. And I'm just going to go to the other aspect where we believe that God is involved. We pray, God bless me. How many people use that prayer? God bless me. God enlarge my coast. Let me see your hand. God enlarge my coast. God, how do we say the prayer again? What else do we pray when it comes to money? Yes, my sister is laughing. How do you pray your prayer? Yes, what sort of prayer? Yes, God. What do you
pray? You be the head and not the tail.
You be the head and not the tail, okay? Any other prayer point? Yes, sir.
Expand my business.
Expand my business. What other? Yes, sir. You pray?
Wisdom.
You pray for wisdom. Well done. Any other? We will leave an inheritance for our children's children. A good man leaves an inheritance.
I will lend to nations. I will not.
And these are powerful. Maybe one more from this. How do you pray concerning your finances? How do you pray?
I think I just pray for guidance in how to spend and save and manage the money, really.
Do you pray for that?
That God should multiply the little of God.
Multiply. And all these things that are biblical. But it's the steps that we take towards it that makes the difference. Good financial planning. I just have two examples. The first one is that widow in the time of Elijah, that there was a famine. And God has spoken to his servant to say, look, go to this place, the widow will look after you. And the Bible records that this woman had little food for her and her children and her son to eat. But she went to gather sticks. You know, when you have little, the tendency is to be looking at the little and be shaking your head and say, this thing can't go anywhere. This thing won't go anywhere. Famine is here. And just die with worry. But you know, it was in the gathering of the sticks that she met the person that will prophesy into her life. Many times we have dreams, but we have little to start with. And that little, we can be crippled about it and say, ah, I can't do anything with this. It's not going to go far. The woman could say, I'm just going to. She can even be thinking, ah, am I the one to die first or this son? Hey, if I die first, who will they give this boy food? Oh, if my son dies, ah. But you know what? She left her house to go and gather sticks. That's beyond me. Do you understand me? And when she was where she was gathering sticks, the prophet met her and the story changed. When we talk about buying houses, the thought of when you see the advert, £235,000, £500,000, and when you see all the zeros behind the numbers, you think it's not for me. Let me just be renting. Let me just be renting. But you know, the first house we bought in this country, I will say it. I was just gathering sticks. I was looking at the pictures on the internet. They were just going, and I said, ah, is this houses every time? I just called the agent that was advertising. I said, I'm interested in that house. And she said, hey, okay, come to the office. So it was lunchtime. I just drove out of the office, and I went there. And they showed me, and they said, they showed me there. I said, this particular one. I don't know why. I said, this particular one. And then I called my husband. I said, I've seen a house. He said, what are you talking about? Is that, are you shopping for? Anyway, just to help us. By the time they finished, all I needed to put down to get that house was already with me. I was thinking to buy a house in the UK, you needed to have 40,000, 50,000. I needed £8,500 to put down. And I had £6,300. All I did was just to call my bank, and credit was still good then. By the time when I signed the paper of that house, my heart went, whew. Do you understand? But I needed to get out to go and gather sticks. I needed to talk to someone who could help me put things together. Do you understand what I'm saying? I pray that you will have an understanding that will open, remove the lid of your thinking. Look at that boy that had 2 loaves and 5 fishes in the New Testament. And the need was to feed thousands of people. I tell you, it was beyond human understanding. But he put it in the hand of someone who could help him, who could make a difference. And there were 12 baskets gathered after. When we talk about finance, I don't want you, if you're a believer, I don't want you to think that God is outside of the equation, that only your debit and credit will make the difference. I want you to know that God is interested in how to multiply the little that you have. He's interested in helping you to leave an inheritance for your children's children. He is interested. And so we walk with him. And so this finance seminar is to open our eyes to what is our own part in the bargain, so that you can take those steps and follow your vision, follow your dream. And if you have hit any brick wall, to receive inspiration again so that you can start to follow your dream again. I believe that God is going to use the men and the women of today to help us to make that decision and to do what we need to do. Okay. Any questions for me? Any question? Are you ready to multiply, to see your finance multiply? Are you ready to leave an inheritance for your children's children? Are you ready to be the head and not the tail? Please, I want you to shake off everything that suggested itself as impossible. Yes, sir.
But like you said, if you're trusting God, what we must understand is that God is a God, it's an unlimited God, and He doesn't look at your circumstance. So we must always look at the greatness of our God rather than our limitations or the circumstances around us. So that will help us to propel us to look up to the best thing forward. And like you said, if we believe in our dreams, if we believe in our visions, and we entrust whatever we intend to do in the hands of God, it is possible, even where it seems to be impossibility.
Thank you very much. And one of the reasons I like it happening in November is so that when you start doing your Christmas planning, you think about your long-term goals and your dreams. And trim where you need to trim. Because in order to see your dream, you've got to trim. God bless.
Thank you, ma. Thank you very much. Let's just appreciate our senior pastor. Thank you so much for those nuggets of wisdom. Hopefully it started to warm us up. Even those who were probably thinking, I don't know if this is for me. I'm not sure if I could do it. The fact that you're here, actually, is actually a good indication that we believe is possible in the different areas. I'd like to welcome you again. I know since I did my original welcome, some new faces have walked in. I'd like to welcome my brother at the back. I've seen you in several finance seminars, and it was so encouraging just to see you walk in. At some point, we'll share to find out. I'm going to come to you. And I would like you to share with us, because we do it sometimes internally, but what brings you back? Not that we don't want you back, because we do. But what brings you back?
Well, I try to, at least yearly or so, come to a seminar where I can get additional information, more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding, as to how I can empower myself financially. I came last year. And since then, I mean, I've received such a lot of information. And I've been able to start my own business in property development. So, because I'm from Nigeria, so I began back home in Nigeria, and I plan to do the same thing here. I just came because last time I received a lot of information that was helpful for my business, and I'm here to gather more information so that I can share as well. Yeah, so that's why. Thank you.
Thank you. Team, I think we have somebody for our program next year who will take your contact detail. Thank you so much for sharing with us. It encourages to know that it is beneficial. Because something we do is review to say, do we need to have it again this year? and every year, our senior pastor, I remember, it was a very good question. She challenged us, what did you gain from the last finance seminar? On our feet. And truly, if there's no benefits, then it's not very efficient carrying on. So we like to hear things like that. Thank you. I'd like to welcome my brother. Brother Akinwale, he is actually, I call him a brother because we see him as a brother in the Lord, but he's here really to share expert knowledge from Al Insurance. So yes, we have all our experts in the program actually now here with us, so tighten your seatbelts, don't go away. We've got Joe Vaughan from is an independent mortgage advisor. I was actually reading your resume and I thought, wow. So we have a lot to look forward to. And we've got our brother Ayo Adeniran as well, who actually has got a wealth of experience. I love the part about wealth management. And I thought, yes, I'd like to get lots of wealth so I can get you to help me with that. So yes, you are in the right place. And then please, like our pastor said, feel free. If you have questions, if you have knowledge to share, this is a sharing. We do have a program with experts, but the idea is we learn from each other as well. So I hope you feel comfortable to do that. The next thing in our program is now we're just going to have our refreshments, I believe. Yes? So we're just going to have light refreshments. yes, sorry, I'll go back. I shared the toilets for the ladies, just at the back, and the men's toilet is just through the door, and it's right at the back. That's where we have our toilets. We're going to be having our lunch for about, so we're keeping to time. Someone told me that a number of people would like to go and see the fireworks immediately after this, so we cannot afford to go over the time. And you're nodding, Jay, like, yeah? You got people coming around for the fireworks. Okay, we probably all head. No, okay. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to. Oh, Andy Hemes, you're welcome. Everyone else who walked in since the last time. Brother Eric, the Okakus, thank you. You're all welcome. Hopefully, I haven't missed out anyone else. Oh, our beloved sis, you're welcome as well. Good to see you. And I think my namesake just walked through. We sat on a table and she said, my name is Clara. I said, no, that's my name. Hello, sis. And she's there sorting something out. So we're going to have a working lunch. So we can start for about 10, 15 minutes to just have a break, comfort break, probably talk to a few people. But if it's okay, we'll carry on. We have plates, your lunch, and we'll just continue if that's okay with you, just to make sure that we are sticking to our time. All right. Thank you. And their lunch is all being... Do people just come up and help themselves? Yeah? And they're ready for us to do that now? All right. They're ready for us? Lovely selection of sandwiches and light bites. They are...
Things. Let's see. Next slide. Okay. Oh, yeah, Bank of England. I would say go to that side as well. That also states the Bank of England base rate and the inflation as well. Next slide. So mortgage schemes. So obviously, Joe will probably go in a little bit deeper, but for some of us, if you're looking to decrease how much you may need, if you're looking at new bills specifically, so help to buy, you only need 5% deposit. So that drastically reduces the amount you need. What the government were willing to do outside of London, they'll lend you a 20% loan, which is interest-free for 5 years. Then the lender will lend you the remaining sort of 70-75%. In London, they're actually willing to lend up to 40% interest-free for 5 years. On the sixth year, they'll actually start charging about 1.75%, so be aware of that. It's still quite competitive, but again, it's quite competitive to what the other lenders are offering. But again, they're still trying to help people get on the ladder. You know, we crucify the government all the time, but they recognize the issue and they're trying to help as well. Yes. So if at any point you're in a position where maybe it's not in its fixed rate period and you can pay off the mortgage early, you can pay it off and set yourself free. One dream, actually, I do have a dream, which may destroy this whole financial seminar. Who doesn't want to buy a house in cash? Just walk in with the bag, you know. just with the bag, just... They'll probably send a few police officers to find out why, where it's come from. Yes. Shared ownership. This is actually, and one of my friends has just joined this, so this is great, and in London. If you're in applying for a property where maybe a housing association is involved, you can actually apply for ownership of maybe 25 to 75%. You don't have to hold the whole property outright, and you can rent the portion that you do not own, and you'll pay a small mortgage for the portion you do own. Right to buy, for those of you in council houses, you can talk to your local council. Depending on how long you've lived in that property, they may be able to sell you the property at discount as well. Moving on quickly. So just practical steps. Move home, depending on where you are in life. So this doesn't apply to everyone. Move home. This helped me get really rich, but then I nearly burnt through everything moving back to London. So, you know, shoot myself. No, yeah, it's a good move. I met a lot of clients that move home. This is why the Bible says respect your mother and father, so it'll be well with you.
Yeah.
So just move home, mind your business, wash the dishes, cut the grass. If they're nice, they won't pay you too much. They won't charge you rent. Maybe that's a discount, but you can get rich living at home. I'm telling you, this is the biggest. Don't I talk about it like 24/7? Yes. The biggest lender in the UK. Who is it? The Bank of Mom and Dad. That is the biggest. So everyone's situation is a little bit different. But if you do have parents who like you still, they may actually want to give you some money. Some of them may ask for it back down the line. Some may just gift it to you. So, again, you never know. Maybe they have a bank account in Nigeria or in Switzerland somewhere that they haven't told you about. Maybe they'll love to help you as well. So get promoted. This is something I'm trying to do as well. So work hard, you know, don't be lazy. Increase your earnings is a good move as well. We also talk about reviewing your budget, review rates of inflation. So keeping an eye on interest rates, go online, compare the rates there as well. Investment advice. So some of you, if you have maybe 15,000 or more, you might want to sit down with an investment advisor. If you are happy to put funds away for more than 5 years, that'll be an option. Just to gain awareness. If they try and charge you for an initial meeting, don't listen to them. Just sit down, see what they say. You can do a lot of research yourself. Sell assets. Some of you are blessed in many ways. You've got cars you're not using, motorcycles you're not using, I don't know, comics, paintings, jewelry. You may want to look at it. That's why I had to do a little sale outside your house. Next step, alternative income. Some of you are so talented, you can even do extra jobs on outside your work. Some of you do hair. Some of you cut hair. Some of you cook. Some of you, I know people that do refereeing. I know people that host parties. And some people preach. You know, do whatever you can. Work your gift. Maybe you can earn a second income as well. So a few more things just to prepare for our application that really helped me. We expanded this during the testimony. This helped me a lot as well. So if you do have any debt, try and pay it off as quickly as you can. Use a credit card. So you can actually set a direct debit off for full payment every month. You can demonstrate yourself as a credible borrower, and you can really shoot your credit rating up. So I did the trial period with Experian, and I found it's really helped me a lot. So again, you can register with a few credit reference agencies. Experian is the largest. You can also do Equifax and Call Credit. There are also a few free options as well. You can use apps. There's a few sites as well. Register to vote. This is a sign of stability. So not only do you get electronically verified quicker when making applications, but it actually shows you're stable. So as soon as you move, just register to vote again. And it's quite easily done online. They'll send you the form. Just send it off. It is a very good idea. Get a partner. I did that. I did that one. Was it one chase 1,000, two chase 10,000? How amazing. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen in mortgages. They don't multiply it by 1,000 what you get. But again, more disposable income, more stability, because they'll be assessing your affordability. So if there's any, even a brother or a cousin, if you're looking at purchasing a property with someone who trusts you, that's a good idea. Or, yeah, get married. It's okay. I heard it's good. Is it? Yeah. We'll see. Anyway, summarize. So we've covered regulation, affordability, and many things, interest rates. You size your ISA allowance, so that's 20,000 at the moment. So that does change every year. So you can use that not just in cash, but you're helped by ISA or lifetime ISA. You can also use it in stocks and shares ISA as well. So you can actually earn quite a lot. But again, that's an investment risk you've got to be aware of. Be aware of property ownership schemes. So this is more preparation. I'm sure Joe will expand in more detail. Review your budget. Look at your life. Are there any areas I can honestly sacrifice? Maybe I don't need to go to McDonald's anymore. Maybe I don't have to have that new McFlurry. FIFA, can I stop? Should I buy? Nah, you got to buy FIFA, mate. You got to buy FIFA. Again, improve your credit score and get a partner. So that concludes my talk, really. I think I'll conclude that, you know, with everything that we've said so far and everything that we said today, I think it's still important to put money in its place. You know, a mortgage isn't necessarily the source of happiness. Learn to be happy before the dream, not necessarily content, but learn to be happy before the dream. And, you know, still enjoy life, still reward yourself. And, you know, when all is said and done, it's okay if you say maybe mortgage isn't for me, but you never know. God may bless you with cash, a lot of cash. You never know. Amen.
Thank you very, very much. Indeed, we're receiving that. God is blessing us with lots of cash. Multiplication. I think that would be one of our words. Thank you very much, Aya. That was very inspirational. I'm sure there are lots of questions that came from that presentation. If I can just ask you just to please don't forget your question. We're going to try. We have penciled in just open mic session for question at the end. Please write it down. I believe that we probably have the slides as well. If anyone wants those slides, there were things to follow up on, calls to make, websites to view. We can share those websites, those presentation slides as well. So we've done a saving session. We heard some really practical tips actually given in both presentations about saving. So hopefully it's helping us to think about our homes and areas where actually do I really need X? Do I really need Y? What's the luxuries? Because ours are different. FIFA to me would be a luxury. But again, it's different for everybody. So it's about having that thought about what things could go. I think Pastor was talking about focusing. And that's also necessary. So I'm just going to call back. I believe there is a scenario on mortgage. So we're now going into another important element. We've talked around it now, and now we're just going to delve into mortgage, the property itself, the investment. And before we do that, I believe there is a scenario, there's a session. I know there's some more people who come in since the last time. I just want to say welcome. Welcome to our Pastor Sarah. I think favor means a favor. Everyone else that I haven't seen from Swindon as well, very quickly, Sister Apia. Well done. Everyone else, the floor to the back, I'll be here and take up all our time. So, all welcome. And I actually missed out to say a welcome from my cousin all the way from London, Jessica. I'm putting all eyes on you. Sometimes we take our own for granted, but yeah, picked up from the station. We were meant to spend time together. She said, I don't mind. I'll come to your finance seminar. Bless you. We appreciate you. Brother Corin.
Me again. Okay, this is a scenario for you to think about. Okay, it covers bad credit, purchase, and remortgaging. So it says, one customer who has a county court judgment in her name, that's good, that's not his, it's her name, that's good, found a lender who will accept this at a decent rate. Okay. Have recommended how to improve credit score and recommended on a short-term fixed rate. So if she can quickly move on the better rate when her score improves, savings around £75 a month from a small mortgage. Now, second one. There's another client looking to remortgage, but he had a bad credit. This bad credit thing keep creeping left and right. We find out. Also wanted to borrow more to... this one, he already has a house. He wants to improve it. So that's a different matter. Had spoken to his current lender directly. She has spoken. Because of the he's. Okay. To his current lender directly and has been rejected. That's a shame. But I found him a lender who will allow the borrowing and also present him with another option to stay with his current lender, but not borrow more. Wow, that's big. And then borrow the extra in 6 months' time once his credit was improved. He took up the offer and save over £100 a month for 5 years. So these are practical scenarios. But if you look through all of them, the key thing that keep creeping is bad credit. Bad credit. None of them has a good credit. Although there was a fix was found to allow them to get what they wanted. But bad credit. So it means that it's quite important, or I should say it's key for us to check our credit, to know how we are rated, not just to buy a house now, but for anything in the future, your credit record will follow you. Now, to dwell into that scenario, I'm not a mortgage lender. I don't know anything about this thing. So I will call on Joe, who will help us understand those different scenarios and give us more insight into mortgaging.
Thank you very much. Right. Okay, so as you can see there, my name's Joe. Work with Danny Burke, Mortgage Services. A bit about me. I used to work at Connell's, which I think is how I've come to be here now, because I'm still friends with Anthony, who's in there. He's actually an usher at my wedding 6 months ago. So, yep. Okay. So to go into those situations in a bit more detail, bad credit in both of them, often ways around it. Obviously, as we've covered, you don't want to be working a way around it. You want to be sorting it out before you get to that situation. But sometimes it's a case of needs must. So the lady with bad credit, I should say, it was actually her husband's fault for the sake of he's gone. She's currently renting. She lives in Oxford. She's looking to buy a place back out in Wales, where she's got family. On a bit of a budget, not much in the way of savings. Got this bad credit. There you are. It's better. Okay. So ways around it. It involves me doing a lot of legwork, unfortunately. Speaking to lenders, CCJs, not usually acceptable. County court judgments. We found one lender who will accept it, and we've managed to proceed with the mortgage. It's actually, the rate is about 3% and a bit. It's not fantastic. There's only a small deposit in there as well, and it's actually about £150 less than she's paying in rent at the moment. So, yeah, less than rent. So, yeah, absolutely. It's even with that, it's worth it for her. In 2 years' time, that credit will be gone, because we've done the research. We know how to improve it. We move on to another lender, and their rates at the moment start with a 1 rather than a 3. So it could be another £75 saving off a pretty small mortgage in the first place. So well worth her doing. The second example, a man with bad credit looking to remortgage, looking to do some further borrowing. There we are. Looking to do some further borrowing, improve his house in the future. Rejected by his current lender when he went to speak to them directly. He'd spoken to a broker, he'd found a lender who could potentially do it. Again, it was only a small mortgage, £60,000, costing him a few £100 a month. This other lender would do it, would lend the extra money, but it's going to cost him another sort of £150 a month on top of what he's got at the moment. We've looked at his credit. We know how to improve it, where the issues are. We've managed to go back to his other lender, switch it over with them. They're happy to do that. It's saved him about £30 a month initially. When he comes to get the extra money, it's going to cost him another £20 a month, if that, compared to the original lender we looked at, who would have done the whole thing from the get-go, but costing him £150 a month for 5 years. That's a saving of, what, £6,000 over 5 years. So I'm sure we can all think of something we'd do with, well, £100 a month. So there's options out there. The important thing is just to look into everything, try and get the credit rating as good as you can. That's the best starting point. But there are always options. So don't, like we said today, don't give up on something because you think, oh, it's not for me. Have a chat with someone, have a chat with AO about savings, about credit scores, and have a chat with me and we'll see what we can do. There's often a way around it. Okay. So a list of ways I can help people. So a bit about me, I've worked at Connell's, independent now, so I can work quite freely. So I'm based in my third bedroom, which is great for me. There's seldom traffic on my landing compared to the A34, so I'm straight into work in the morning. It's brilliant. So, yeah. So we'll look at especially first-time buyers, shared ownership and help to buy. We've got a bit about that in here. Remortgages I've touched on. You can save a lot of money doing that. Then all the other, got some more sort of specialist stuff on the right-hand side, which may not affect people so much in here. But also the insurances. So I think we've got a bit about home insurance. I won't go into that. But things like life insurance, critical illness, income protection. We've already mentioned about the statutory sick pay, and it's not a lot. So I look at the mortgage, I look at the whole thing. So we've got a budget, how much we can spend each month on the mortgage and protecting that mortgage, because it's just important that if anything does go wrong, you can still pay it. So we can go through some mortgage key facts. I don't know, how many people in here are looking to buy their first place? What, do we all? Yeah, so we've got a few people. We've got a few people who own places and know how mortgages work and got an idea on it. No, that's what I'm here for. So loads of different types of mortgages, loads of variety. You can have it for 15 years, you can have it for 40 years with some people. Fixed rates, variable rates, tracker rates. There's too much to go into here without, you know, getting away at 5 o'clock. So we'll go through some of the basics. So as far as budgeting goes, fixed rates, I think if you've got a mortgage, I imagine it's on a fixed rate. It's probably a fair assumption. You know what you're paying each month. You can budget. Budgeting comes back to that again. It's important. We'll go about mention some of the costs involved. So I just touched on it. I've got a bit of a breakdown on one example. It can vary, but it'll give you a good idea. And it was, I think it's about 5,400. I think you said 5 grand, didn't you? So it's almost like we planned it. Is it expensive? So I've got the next slide. I don't know if you can all see that. So these were taken from Rightmove a couple of days ago. In the red column, you've got the average rent for a two-bed flat in Oxford or OX4 is £950 a month, and that was at the lower end of it. You may have people paying less than that, more than that. In the green, you've got various monthly payments for on mortgage, and they're not big deposits. So we start with a 5% deposit, and then a 10% deposit, and a 15% deposit. And you can see, even with a 5% deposit, you're paying back less a month than you would be if you're renting. And it's going somewhere. It's not going to a landlord. It's going to paying off the mortgage and increasing your stake in the property, your equity. And you can see the difference it makes when you come to remortgage. If you own 10% of it, that drops again to, it's about £250 a month less. Just, it might be 2 years of pain, perhaps, but we're talking sort of long-term planning in here at the moment, and I think there's nothing you can do as sort of secure as buying your own property, in my mind. I've got a bit to talk about on family mortgages, which I know Barclays used to work for Barclays, didn't you? They do a 100% mortgage at the moment, which I'll touch on. We've got other people who will, if you've got family in the country, who may be willing to help, or close relatives, we can potentially look at saving you a bit of money there. And you can see, even at the 5%, that's about £100 savings a month. So it's something worth, it's not for everyone, but it's certainly worth looking into and seeing what we can do and how we can help. Okay. So we've got some costs involved here. So this is, again, the same as the previous example, based on a purchase of a leasehold flat, about 240,000. Again, I've looked on Rightmove, they are around out there. So stamp duty, got to pay it. Goes to the government, you're not going to be able to get away with that. So it's 2,300 at 240. There's a really good calculator there. If anyone's looking at buying or looking at buying another place, stampdutycalculator.org, if we send the slides out, you can have a look at it. And if you see a property, you can see what you're going to pay. Solicitors' fees, I do work with some solicitors. I've just got a quote. You're looking around those figures, basically. It's going to be as near as damage to that. Valuation fees, again, can be free with some lenders. Often you can get them for £400 for a sort of a middle valuation where they'll go in, spend a bit of time there. As I said, 1900s stone cottage, you probably want them to have a proper look at it. But as a rough guide, you might need that. And arrangement fees, a lot of lenders charge around 999. Again, some people it's free and you've always got the option to add it onto the loan, but we look at whether that's economical for you to pay a bit of interest on it, but you've got more up front. Arrangement fees for myself, again, you've got example costs, every situation is a bit different, but that's going to be a good ballpark figure, and I think it probably comes to about what's that, 5,500 or so? So it needs to be budgeted in when you're saving, having your goals, making sure you've got enough for fees, enough for deposits, how much you need for deposit will go into, but just making sure you're covered for everything. Common concerns. So bad credit we've gone well into today. We'll probably touch on that again. I don't know if anyone here is self-employed. I know we got one. Some people, I actually had an electrician around the other day who still thought you couldn't get a mortgage if you're self-employed. It is possible. Every situation is different, though, so it's worth speaking to a broker. Smaller deposits, so that's something we'll touch on quite a lot. Things like the family mortgages, the Barclays Springboard mortgage. I'll go into more detail on shared ownership and help to buy as well. Variable income as well. Some people work on commission. Some people have a lot of overtime, particularly a lot of NHS workers might be paid sort of lower basic but work overtime, and it can double their wages in some cases. Different lenders speak to different people, but there are people who will take all of it. Some people think, because it's not in my contract, I may not be able to get anywhere, but it's possible. It can be done. Annual bonus, yeah, absolutely, yeah. That's as long as you can prove it, we can work with that.
Yeah. Just adding that,
yeah.
What about people who are trying to
regularise
their immigration status?
Yep, there are, again, it's all things that might limit who you can use, but there are certainly lenders who, I think the first mortgage I did in Connells, it was in Cowley, and they didn't both have a definite need to remain, and you can do it still, as long as it's reasonable, and there's, might be you've been in the country for a set amount of time, we've got a set amount of time left on it can be done. So please don't rule anything out until you've looked into it and I've looked into it for you and we know what we can do, because a lot more often than not there's a way around things that people don't necessarily know about, so it's worth looking into. Bad credit. Yep. Yeah, it's again. Some people don't like it. It's one of the things that probably narrows the field a little bit, but it doesn't rule it out. So, I don't know how long you've been doing in the same job. Have you been there a little while? Or okay, so not too long. So there's not a history of it,
yeah, but it's just for other people.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be done. It does narrow the amount of lenders who will do it, but the best thing is, rather than panicking and thinking I've got to find a permanent job and maybe take less money home, which you don't want to be doing, have a chat with someone. I'm happy to answer any questions, speak to any lenders. It's all dependent on how long you've been doing it, how long the contract runs, if you've got history in that field and so on. But yeah, it can be done. So the best thing is for them to have a chat with a broker, see what they say. They'll go in touch with sort of business development managers, other lenders, get their take on it and come back with it, with an answer. But from then we can plan from there. But yeah, it can be done. So it's a case of not panicking, having a chat, getting all the facts and going from there. Bad credit, we've already touched on quite a lot, so I won't go into too much more detail. So, free credit score, we said about Experian, Equifax, not all cool credit. Know what your credit score says. That's the key bit. If we don't know what it says, we don't know where the issues are, how to improve it. Are you on the electoral roll? Again, it's been touched on. Especially for first-time buyers, a lender might not have a great deal of history about you. They might not know a huge amount about you. If we can prove that you are who you say you are, that's a good start. Again, bank statements. I've known people before who are renting and their bank statements still get sent to their parents' address. On the electoral roll at one place, bank statements go another place. Tie it all together. So any sort of credit that's registered on you, make sure it's at the correct address and they can work out who you are then. Loans or credit cards. So again, it's been touched on a couple of times. Credit card or having a credit card, not necessarily a bad thing as long as you pay it back. So setting up a direct debit, as I have said, is a brilliant way to do it. Lenders will look at how much credit you've got allowed, how much of that you've actually taken up. If you've got a lot allowed and you've used all of it, they might think, hello, they're struggling to manage their money. If you've got a lot allowed and you've only got a bit on there and you pay it off every month, it shows you can handle money. That's what they're looking at. They're looking at who's responsible, who can they trust to give this money to. Yes. Yeah. Overdraft, it can be a bit of a an individual situation. I've had a purchase I did for a couple, and they'd gone into overdraft, I think 2 months out of three from the bank statements I sent to the lender. It was at 95% loan to value, so he had a small deposit, and the underwriters rung me up and he said, you know, they're in their overdraft at 95%, we want it to be perfect. But for them, there was a reason for it. They just bought a new car and they'd had a holiday, so they were in their overdraft, but they'd never gone above their overdraft. So, it is still your money. Ideally, you wouldn't be in it, but actually, they've allowed you that overdraft. If you're within it, normally there's a case to be argued that actually there's been this circumstance that they've had to pay a bit more. They've met every payment. They've not missed any phone bills, gas bills, anything like that. You know, it's their money, and normally you can argue the case with an underwriter and we can get around it. Again, good money management would probably be to try and avoid that, having, as I said, sort of 3 to 6 months savings in your account, but that's not always realistic. So things do happen, things go wrong. If you need to use the savings, then if something else happens in the next couple of months, you might have to use your overdraft. But yeah, it can still be looked at. So don't worry if you're sort of in your overdraft. Just have a chat. Okay.
And that their business is helping people who rent make sure that their rent is being shown in their credit score. I don't know if that's a new invention or. Does it make sense, right?
Yeah. I mean, any credit that you've got to pay, so things like a rent, like a phone bill, gas bill, if you can show that you've been paying it, then it's a positive. It can only be a positive. So.
It also helps again if you're in social housing.
Yeah. before records began, possibly not, no, but I think the key is if you've got, again, this is where things like a budget planner, so I've actually got one that I use, an Excel spreadsheet, and you can put in how much your rent is each month, how much your gas tends to be, your electric, how much you're spending on food, how much you're spending on going out and socialising, having your McDonald's or your KFCs, because, you know, a mortgage, it's all very well and good having one, but if you can't afford to go out or turn the lights on, there's no point, you know. So you need to be able to budget, and it all comes back to budgeting. If you can get a spreadsheet, work out how much goes out each month, how much you got coming in, how much you got left over, it makes life a lot easier. So that's if anyone wants one, I can email them out. I've got a good one that I sort of plagiarised from Connell's a little bit. But it's really good. And again, last one, are there lenders out there who consider lending if I have poor credit? There are. I've sort of mentioned a couple of them. It's a good plan B, but plan A, definitely get your credit score right, get your free report, know where you are with it. And put if you are behind, if you've got a lower score, put a plan of action in place, work out in 6 months, okay, I want to pay this off and be up here. With age, a lot of lenders now go up to age 75 in some cases. If it's an investment property, technically you can have them until you're about 115 with some people. Yeah, yeah. So if you get to sort of 113 and decide you don't want it anymore, you can still do it. That's but for a normal residential, yeah, a lot of people go up to age 75 as long as either they can prove pension income's coming in or that you've got a job that you could feasibly continue. In my job working from home, I probably could. If I was a scaffolder, they might think probably not going to be doing that at 75. But yeah, you either have a longer term or you can shorten the term to say 15 years and work it out from there. But yeah, no, age isn't too much of a barrier anymore. People are living longer, being healthy longer, and that's been taken into account by lenders. So small deposit or low income, especially around Oxford where rents are high, property prices are high compared to what people, and this is something I deal with a lot. So we've got, I mentioned about family mortgages. So we've got a few people who, so Barclays up to 100% in a mortgage. I don't know if people, first time buyers, perhaps you've got friends, family in the UK with a smaller mortgage, or they got maybe a gifted deposit is one way, but some people, you know, an example, my parents, they've got savings. They're due to retire in a few years. They want to go travelling, but at the moment they've got savings they don't necessarily need. If I was looking to buy, you could potentially go to your parents and say, oh, you know, can you help us out? And they said, well, we can, but, you know, we want the money back. There's actually lenders now who will perhaps have that money from the parents, set it aside in an account with them. They'll still get interest on it. And in 2-3 years' time, when the mortgage is due for renewal, as long as the people purchasing the property can afford to remortgage it back to the parents, so there's no loss of money from the parents. So there's a lot of great ways around it. Another case, you might have parents who have got own a house that's worth, say, £300,000, got a mortgage of £30,000 left on it. They've got no savings, but they've got a lot of equity or a lot of share in their own property. Some lenders will actually they'll go to the parents' property, they'll have a look at it and make sure they're happy with it, and maybe take what's called a charge. So they'll take a stake in the parents' property for the term of 2 or 3 years. What that means is that if you've got a 5% deposit, these guys will lend you money as if you got perhaps a 75% deposit. The parents don't pay anything on it. The only time they'd get in trouble is if you can't make your payments and the house ends up in arrears and they need to repossess it, then your parents might have to pay a little bit. But they'll need to seek legal advice. But actually, it's a great way. There's not a lot of, if they don't have a lot of cash floating around, it's something a lot of people don't necessarily know about. Parents can help out, just say, yeah, if anything goes wrong, you will secure it against our property. And it's a great way on, and you can actually, I think on the third slide it said about how much you can potentially save on it. If you can get a mortgage for £100 less a month, that's brilliant. It's got to be looked at, I think. It gets you the lower rates as well, so you can see that £100 saving is huge. That goes towards either overpaying the mortgage, building the savings back up, whatever you want it to, really. 100% mortgages, again, this is something that had a bad rep, probably partly due to 2007, 2008, when it all went belly up. It's a lot more regulated now, a lot more secure, but again, not too much risk to the parents or the relatives. They can give money if they're going away in 5 years' time and want the money back. That's no problem. It goes into another account, still gets interest on it, and as long as you can afford to borrow 100% of the property value, you can look at taking a mortgage with no deposit whatsoever. The rates will be a little bit higher, but they're not massive, to be honest. And it's something. If perhaps you're due a promotion in 6 months' time and your wages are going to go up, it's well worth looking into. joint borrower, sole proprietor. So this is something that's not used by many people, but most people don't know about it. So if you're trying to buy a house, you've got a decent deposit perhaps, but your income isn't fantastic, you can include a family member on the mortgage, but they're not on the deed, so they don't get included in the stamp duty side of it. They're just there really as a bit of a guarantor. So their income assessed like anyone else, age assessed, etc. They've got to fit on the same lender's criteria, but it's a great way to increase your borrowing power. Perhaps, a lot of this is sort of short-term pain, long-term gain almost. You might have that for a couple of years or 5 years or what have you, and then in that time, go elsewhere, get a regular mortgage. Parents come off the mortgage. You're on the ladder. You're a couple of years down the line. You've probably got better rates available to you, and it's just a great way on. They need to take independent legal advice on it, but it's something that a lot of people don't know about, and it's certainly worth considering. And I've used it a couple of times myself to help people out, been turned away by other people, but it's a really good scheme. Shared ownership. So this has been mentioned already. Another great way for someone with a smaller deposit to get onto the ladder. So, like I said, you might have a house worth 280,000. You might be buying a 40% share on it. In fact, actually, I've got a good example on the next page. So, again, this is taken from Rightmove again yesterday or the day before. There's a two-bed flat in OX2. The rent on that is probably going to be more like £1,100, £1,200 a month. Full value is £280,000. You can buy a 40% share for £128,000. So the first half of it, the 40%, I don't know if anyone here is aware of shared ownership at all or they've looked into it, but the 40% is a fairly standard mortgage. But rather than trying to buy a place for over £250,000, you're buying it for £128,000, and it's a lot more affordable for a lot of people. The other 60%, you pay rent, service charges, the fees are all up there. So it's money going, to the government, to housing scheme. So it's not necessarily paying off the equity in the property. You're not getting rich off it, but it's certainly better than paying rent that's going absolutely nowhere. So if you've got a £12,000 deposit, mortgages as of yesterday, so after the rates have changed, you're looking at around £330 a month plus the rent and service charge, £754, which is a lot more manageable than £1,100 a month. You could be saving £300-£400 a month, and you've got a property, you're paying off some of the money you owe on it. In 5 years' time, you actually own extra of it, and you can normally staircase it. Even with a £6,000 deposit, you're still spending less a month. So there's lots and lots of shared ownership associations. So there's SOHA, Catalyst, A2 Dominion. Right. So there's plenty around at the moment. Best advice is to look it up, have a chat with me, get registered with them if that's what you're looking for. We can go over costs and how much it's going to be. And there's some great deals. I've just had an offer out yesterday for a guy who couldn't afford to buy on his own, but he's got this place. In 2 years' time, he's probably going to be able to buy the whole thing. Staircasing, I briefly touched on. So this, most people allow you to improve the amount you own in the property. So he's starting off at 40% in 2 years' time, 5 years' time. You might think, actually, I can afford a bit more. By this much, you have to pay a bit more stamp duty, but it's well worth doing it. And most people, it's possible to, in time, just own 100% of it. It's something that perhaps might not be available to buy from the get-go, but which using shared ownership, it's a great way on. And actually, you can end up living the property, or you sell it and you move on to a place wholly owned from there. There's a really good scheme. It's really worth looking into if you're thinking, this is too hard, a mortgage isn't for me. Again, Help to Buy, touched on earlier. So I think there's a couple of sites sort of around Bicester and so on. I think you've got places, three beds for about 260, 265. So again, 5% deposit. This can be your own savings. It could be gifted from a family member. The government will then give you up to 20% of it. So this means you've got a 75% deposit as far as the lender's concerned. You've got rates that are really, really competitive at that cost. You're looking at sort of probably saving a couple hundred pounds a month extra. So Interest-free for 5 years, as we said. It goes up to 1.75 and then increases every year after that. So what a lot of people do is have a mortgage for 5 years. 5 years' time, they might remortgage and try and borrow enough to pay off the loan. There's ways around it. It's a case-by-case thing, but it's another great way on. And it allows you, perhaps, with a small deposit, to go straight into a three-bed house that you don't need to move from again for 10, 15 years. Rather than starting at a two-bed and then going up, all the costs involved in moving. So important things to think about. So a mortgage is a massive commitment. Massive. So you've got to make sure the property is right for you. You don't want to be buying something on a whim. You need to go and do your homework, make sure it's something you're going to be happy living in. Buildings and contents insurance we're going to mention later. But you'll need buildings insurance at a minimum. Otherwise, you can't have the mortgage, basically. They won't let you have it. And contents insurance, you've worked hard for all your nice things. If anything happens, you want to protect them as well. So that's something you can look at. Protection. So this is a big thing for me, and it links in with budgeting as well, actually. So when I meet people, I'll go through a spreadsheet, we'll work out how much they earn a month after tax, how much they got coming in, what needs to be gone, so any loans, any other payments like that they have to make, how much the mortgage is going to be and how much it's going to cost them to protect that mortgage. So I'm sure people in here know people who have perhaps had a stroke, had cancer, had a heart attack. I had a friend who passed away when he was 24 from a heart condition, so I know things can happen. It makes sense, absolutely, to get these things covered. So what I try and do is we go through everything, make sure we can afford the mortgage and make sure we can afford to protect the mortgage. So you've got your life cover if the worst happens. Critical illness cover, so things like heart attack, cancer, strokes, multiple cirrhosis, all sorts of horrible things that can and do happen. There's no point sort of saying, oh, it won't happen to me, or turning a blind eye to it. These things have got to be looked at. But we look at everything. So budgeting, it's been touched on a lot of times because it's so key, making sure you can afford it, making sure you can still afford to go out and do the things you like as well. And I think we'll just some quick Q&A if anyone's got any questions. No? All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You have a question? Yeah, I mean, it's important. I think the previous seminars we've had, people require that they wanted information on property, and that's why we're doing this. For personal finance, there is a rule called 10-10-10-70. I hope we all know 10-10-10-70. You have 100% of your income after tax. The expectation is that you give 10% to God as your tithe. The next 10%, you invest. That is in things that will increase in value. Then you take 10%. Then 10%, you use 5% for your personal development, 5% to help others. You invest in others. Whether you just put a smile on somebody's face, a bouquet of flowers, a bag or things, but you are doing it intentionally. You know that part of what has come into your hand is a seed for somebody's happiness. If you want, you can invest in someone's education. You can help someone to train their child. Are you with me? And then you make sure that the 70 is your disposable income to cover your rent or mortgage, cover your insurance, cover your transportation. So it's a personal, is how you holistically view what comes into your hand. 10% belongs to God. 10% in investment, 10% to be shared between family and friends. And when you do it, you don't grudge, because you know you have accepted it. That is part of the package that God has put in your hands. And then 70% is for your disposable income. Are you with me? And for some of us as well, the earlier we secure ourselves a mortgage, the more free we will be to help other people. The earlier you're actually on that stable ground, the easier it will be for you to help someone. Because one of the things you don't want to do is you are doing it grudgingly, because it's limiting your capacity to get onto your own stable ground. So when you put your feet and you are standing,
When you give, you know that you are, by the grace of God, in a stable ground. So it's a catch-22 situation.
Bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.